Welcome to Sad Boys, a podcast about feelings and other things also. I'm Jarvis.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.
I never thank you for introducing me. For like saying, hey, welcome.
Oh, yeah, but I didn't introduce you, actually. You've got to introduce yourself. I just said that
I'm happy to be here.
Okay. You are here every week.
And I am thrilled.
Okay. So this is Jordan.
Jordan. Yeah,
also, yeah. Today, we're at our new space. We're at the new place.
What a great room.
We're in a big old room. And
that work?
Yeah, I moved. That's the big story.
Guilty.
Guilty. The rumors are true. We tried to make it look as much like the old place as possible. We have the ramen blanket.
We very almost didn't.
Yeah, and then BB remembered. And yeah, there's a lot of boxes in the background, but you know how moving is.
Hey, man, same couch, same blanket, same bad posture on my part.
We're same voice.
Contributing all the value.
I think
that
bad posture on my part as well. Like, I should not be hunched over as much as I am.
Well, we're covering all the bases.
Yeah.
You got the hunch. I got the legs up.
Yeah, we need like an ergonomic specialist, you know, that come into companies and like tell their employees how to sit.
Like a Jordan Belfort type, but for posture.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
That'd be cool. Isn't, Gordon Gekko just like yelling.
Wait, this is actually... Is this going to be my thing? I mean, okay,
cute.
In fairness, you now are the guy who gets all of the comments about sitting. But in the first video that we did, coming back, I was also sitting in fun ways.
Okay. Hey.
Hey, it's not, what? I want it too, okay?
I'm in trouble for being a sweetie now? That's fair, I guess?
Okay. Mm.
For all being right. Myself?
Happy birthday, Jordan.
Oh, shit, yeah. Thank you so much, dude. Happy birthday to you as well.
Thank
Just
you.
Two young men.
Two young men.
Young, vibrant.
Who are finally allowed to drive.
Whimsical enough to bring their legs onto the couch. And
actually, you're still not allowed to drive.
Nope, not at all. On account of no license.
Yeah. And you're so young.
Oh, sorry. That's it. Yeah. I can't rent a car or whatever.
So speaking of renting a car, we, for our joint birthday, yes, our birthday is the same day. It's not a bit. I got lots of DMs asking if we were serious.
Yeah, nice try. You know.
Yeah.
It's 2 years apart, if that helps.
Wasn't like the same day, same year. We are 2 years apart, but it was the same day, May 5th. That's our birthday. And it, I think, is an important part of when we met and we're like, oh, we have too many similarities.
Mm-hmm.
And then we found out we had the same birthday.
We both sat in the old Patreon office doing like a soy jack face.
Yeah. Like, I remember there's this photo of you in a blue shirt playing a guitar with legs crossed. And I sent it to Anastasia. And I was like, he likes Hollywood Handbook. And then you were like, Anastasia from Hollywood Handbook?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I don't miss.
Anastasia's here right now off camera, but you can't see her.
It's fun. It is like a bizarre. I wish I could find like a transcript of that conversation, because it is a lot of like, I don't think Sad Boys would exist without us discovering just a bunch of sudden like, whoa, what?
Yeah.
Hey, come on, huh?
For real?
Because we later became co-workers, but we weren't, you know, we didn't work in the same team, even the same side of the org, even the same portion of the office.
No, I feel like, I've probably told this on the podcast before, but you were proposed to me as a person who existed. You were pitched to me as British Jarvis by our friend Jamie. And she was like, you got to come work at Patreon. We have British Jarvis. And I was like, oh, why would I want there to be a British version of me?
Do I replace him?
Yeah. And I also like, that sounds racist.
It's fine. Oh, dude, we can't talk about it really, but there is a person in our lives now. I have a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
That mixes us up
every
time we see them.
And that happens more often than you'd think in our lives. People used to mix us up at Patreon. And I think it's because
we're like,
both,
happy birthday.
Yeah.
No way.
No way. You're right. It's a stop clock is right twice a day. But it was our birthday this past Friday. And
yes.
And we.
Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo, as a little bit of a surprise, we went to Canada. We went to Toronto under a secret plan to surprise our good friend Curtis Connor for his birthday, being May 5th, May the 4th be with you.
And, well, yeah, Curtis is one day before me, to be fair, as far as weird birthday timing.
Same year, yeah.
And we look the same.
And you look the same. Have I ever told you how I posted photos of my new haircut And people were like, you look like Curtis Connor. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Did you have a mustache?
In a mullet? No, I didn't.
Huh.
It was weird.
That's
and
refreshing.
I got it multiple times.
It is different.
I got it multiple times to the point where I sent it to Curtis and I was like, what is going on?
What's going on? I was fired for doing some bullshit. California.
Media is in the trash can. And I'll tell you, it's not good. I've lived it.
I'm sensitive. I was fired for being myself. Shout outs.
The news is fake, and so am I.
I got those implants to give me biceps.
I'm a big, strong boy.
he should pivot into being a small bean. That should be the new Tucker Carlson era.
I'm a small bean.
I'm just a little cutie.
And this is why what the left is afraid of. I'm the smallest bean.
They're jealous.
And they're jealous
of me being a cutie sweetie pie.
They're infringing on Americans' rights to be small beans.
To do a toy haul or do an unboxing of a bunch of small toys. Is that what small bean people do? I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, we surprised Curtis. It was very cute. Also, Danny surprised Curtis. So it was like this two-pronged thing where Danny of Danny Gonzalez arrived in Toronto secretly because we were coordinating with Jenna. So there was like a big group chat between Jordan, myself, Jenna, and Danny. And so Danny was arriving early in the day, and then he surprised Curtis. And then I saw the video, like Jenna sent me the video, and he's like, whoa, dude. Yeah. Danny's like sitting at their dining table, kind of doing a Danny Gonzalez face.
And Curtis hits him with the most expressive Curtis gets.
Yeah. Jenna was like, Curtis doesn't show much emotion, and then shows the video. And she's like, but he was so happy and surprised. And the video's him going, whoa, man.
He's so, and like, his wording is very emotional. And
oh,
like,
yeah.
Wow. I love you. This is amazing. Wow. But just, whoa.
No, yeah. It feels like it's a bit, but it's very earnest.
He's just,
whoa. What the fuck, man?
What the fuck?
Because that's what happened. So Danny surprised him, and then...
Do you think even audio listeners can picture the... Curtis, like, has a physical motion when he hits you with the word?
Whoa!
It's like the servos in his back are, like, shifting.
Yeah, yeah. Danny surprised him, and it was very cute. And then that evening, we arrived from the airport... and showed up, and I knocked real hard on the door like I was a bad guy. Like I was Billie Eilish's bad guy from the song.
So it's based on you?
Yeah, it's based on me knocking on Curtis's door. Yeah, I'm a little prankster and a bad man. And
I'm a bad man.
I'm a bad man. Duh. He was like, what the fuck? What's going on?
Guys?
He like looked back at Jenna, and Jenna was like filming him.
Jump.
Yeah, it was a great time. And then Curtis and Jenna were just like the nicest hosts.
Unreasonably great hosts.
Jenna cooked incredible dinners twice.
Mm-hmm.
Curtis made us espresso. We learned that there is a Canadian version of DiGiorno called... Like Deliso or something like that.
Yeah. It's not
delivery. It's Deliso.
It's not takeout going to your house. It's Dislolo. Dislocate.
Yeah. I had no idea that there was. What's that whistling sound? We have
some fans.
A big open door and like the birds are singing. The birds are squealing, actually.
As serene as it is, you know.
Can we look up while we're here? The DiGiorno versus Deliso or whatever. Yeah. Huh. Delicio.
We did check. It is the same company.
It's the same company. It's literally one of those like Hardee's versus Carl Jr., Checkers versus Rallies. What's another one?
TK Maxx versus TJ Maxx.
TK Maxx?
UK one, yeah.
That's insane.
To what reason? Not sure which is the first one. Don't see any rationale for it.
I thought TJ Maxx was a person. I feel like this is my Shane Dawson moment where I'm like, I thought Trader Joe made the food.
What market research could have resulted in? Yeah, Americans like the letter J actually a hell of a lot more than K.
Yeah, our surveys suggested that we should shift to the next letter in the alphabet. No longer letter number 10, J. We have to move on to K.
It is like, it's literally like, this just doesn't hit right. It stands for the kingdom. That's why.
Oh, the kingdom, Kingdom Max. Shout out to the king, dude.
Thanks, dude. Thank you so much.
No. Burger King.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Which did you know in Japan? No, just kidding. It's Burger King everywhere. But
the burger, bro.
It's Hungry Jack's in Australia.
It's Hungry Jack's in Australia. Anastasia just told us.
What, TK Maxx's?
Yeah, TK Maxx is Hungry Jack's. That's why it rags. I went over to Hungry Jack's and grabbed a Element skateboard t-shirt.
Yeah, for too much money or not enough?
Yeah, it was marked down from $100 to $12.
Dude, I just hit up Hot Topic the other day. I was trying to find like as silly a like Stewie Griffin t-shirt as possible.
Right.
Little pricey.
Oh, yeah.
Little pricier than I thought Hot Topic would be for, you know, like a Demon Slayer sweatpants.
Yeah, I mean, when you're buying high fashion, you've got to pay high prices.
Yeah, I guess I don't know the industry, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, Stewie demands a premium.
Yeah, I should have gone for an American Dad. I demand
a premium.
It was an American Dad character or Cleveland Show. I probably could have got a discount.
I promised Loretta I would get intimate with her tonight. I'm just doing all my Family Guy impressions.
I made my own show.
I've got a show and I'm voiced by a white guy.
Is that okay?
Probably not.
The problem with Cleveland.
Fortunately, we found a black dude who sounds like this also. So
the show was canceled before we were.
Anyway,
oh no, he's stuck.
Oh,
he's dying.
Oh no,
I'm in pain. Kill me
before I get canceled.
We scared our good friend. Speaking of brands that are different, Kit Kat behavior.
Oh, yeah,
what in the world?
So, we ate a lot of Kit Kat bars in Canada, and I don't know why this happened. I don't know if it's a Canadian delicacy or what. But our first Kit Kat was, where did we eat the first Kit Kat?
I got it from just like a corner store.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Jordan was just like at a corner store and he's like, I got a Kit Kat. You want it?
I wanted to go to Timmy Horton's, but it was closed.
Right. And so then I ate the Kit Kat and it was very good. It was special. It felt like it was made with real, I don't know, elbow grease or whatever.
It felt like it was made by heart, by K-Kat himself.
Yeah, it was actually J-Cat.
TJ Cat.
Yeah.
They taste like UK ones. Mm. It used to be my favorite candy, then moved back to the US.
Yeah.
What the fucking, what's going on?
I don't know. See, I can't judge a Kit Kat in America because I've only known American Kit Kats, so I like them, but they do taste different. Like the ones in Canada definitely tasted better. And this is like a European chocolate thing too. Mm. And not that Canada's in Europe, but like, you know how people talk about,
you know,
they want to be.
It's like America's stepson.
Yeah.
But Europe has kind of thrown all its stuff
Canada
in there.
Wants to be European real bad.
Yeah. Nice try.
Yeah. We like literally got, we rented a car and I'm like driving on the highway. And then Jordan points out that the highway signs or the highway numbers have little crowns.
Mm-hmm. They're in the shape of little crowns.
Yeah, like, they're in the shape of little crowns with like five on
it. I mentioned it to our chaperones, Jenna and Curtis, and they were like, oh, really?
Yeah, they didn't notice.
Wow, you're so indoctrinated.
Yeah, they didn't know. Yeah, it's kind of like if you mention how many American flags are at the...
Yeah.
Or eagles are at any airport. Any customs in the U.S. is like, welcome home to good old-fashioned America.
Dude, like, yeah, like an animated flag background behind an eagle. Mm-hmm. You know what? Actually, one of the first things I noticed after I moved here, fucking whatever, you know, 7, 8 years ago or whatever, the very first thing I noticed is that on, like, terrestrial TV, where you actually get ads or medical ads, especially because I don't even think legally you're allowed to advertise branded medicine in the U.K.
Oh, right. I've heard that.
Because it's insane to do that. There is...
Ozempic, you know, they make bangers here. They make bangers for miracle drugs.
Ozempic should never be used by anyone in the whole world. It will make your arms and legs fall off. And don't make sure...
Ask your doctor before trying Ozempic, as it will kill you for sure.
Yeah, hope that they say no, because you should
I think
never
Ozempic is like the new Hollywood weight loss drug, where it's like, it's used, it's supposed to be for people with diabetes, I think. And
it has an actual medical
thing. But then people were like, hold on, this suppresses your no. So there's like a black market and there's also a shortage. I don't know very much about this. I was just hearing about it on the news.
I'm curious. There is a it's just kind of crazy how much parodies of the US line up.
Mm.
Like the idea of an actual contemporary ad where it'd be like, in this country of freedom and modernity, you can buy medicine that makes you more powerful than you could ever possibly imagine. Mm-hmm. Have you ever wanted to be yourself? Or political ads?
I was, the phrasing of that started like a political ad. I thought it was going to be like,
this was paid for by the Big Kit Kat Corporation.
I mean, that's definitely not a thing. Surely that's illegal in the UK because I've never seen a political ad before. But the way political ads are phrased is like, do people not see how funny this is? Is it not just
Jordan Adika believes that babies should get punched.
Every baby should be a gamer.
Vote for the patriot who loves babies.
This was paid for by Jarvis for Babies.
The thing I said about the babies was a lie. Jordan Adika doesn't believe that.
Actually, yeah, when you look at the context, it's like live video of Jarvis punching babies, despite having a political ad that says the contrary. Jarvis is actually a victim of the thing that he rallies against. And then everybody's like, I don't believe it.
Nice try.
I know Jarvis. He's like a guy I'd have a beer with. He would never punch a baby. I don't care that there's a video of it.
Hey, New Yorkers, stick together.
Look, I've seen ChatGPT. I know you can fake this stuff.
Anything can be fake these days. Hey, you seen that? You seen the Ex Machina? Huh?
Yeah.
Imagine if that happened.
There was a robot.
Yeah?
And a billionaire. It's kind of like Elon Musk.
It's not real, you said?
May as well
but
be.
You can imagine a world where that's the you ultimate comeback from
and hey,
those guys now.
Whenever they make the robot that you can have sex with, I'm there.
I'm in. But it's unethical. But I'm in.
But I'm in.
Count me in. Yeah. Oh.
give me
a computer I can kiss.
Gabagool over here.
just like a reflex for them. Gabagool.
Gabagool over here.
A pepperoni. a Domino's. A Disoni.
A Manon.
What's it called? Disoni.
Delicio.
It's not delivery.
It's delicio. You have to say it with like a weird Italian accent like I'm doing it.
Is it? It's not delicio. Delivery.
It's not delivery. It's DiGiorno.
Pizza, right?
It's not delivery. It's frozen pizza, right?
Oh,
that's
okay.
What they say.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, it's DiGiorno. Which I thought was like the fanciest shit in the world when I was a kid.
It's a great name. Very good
It's a great name. It still hits.
It, not wrong with it. I had some.
It was great.
Disarobenio.
Hold on.
Huh?
The Autobahn? Disautobagno.
Yes. Yeah, Optimus Surprise.
Donde está el baño?
Hey, the Starscream.
Starscream? That's a Transformer, no?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Oh, man.
And he's a Decepticon, sorry. I'm revealing myself as a bad dude.
Wait, what did you say?
Were you ever into Transformers?
No.
Any format?
Not really. I think I watched some of the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Never really the movies. I saw, like, maybe one of the Shia LaBeouf movies. Thought it was cool.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I completely forgot about that portion. You should watch the Mark Wahlberg ones because the foot.
Did he take over for Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah, in the fourth and fifth movie, I think.
Jesus, there's so many.
The fifth, he is a knight and he has a sword. But maybe that's the fourth one. Who knows? Who cares? But he is to have written a character that's so unlikable. Because even if you have an annoying protagonist, if they're capable, at least they can be a little bit like compelling.
Right.
He's bad at everything that he does.
Uh-huh.
He's really mean.
Oh.
He's really like unpleasant to his employees and people in his life. And the only B plot that he's involved in is his daughter's boyfriend. She is 17 years old. And his daughter's boyfriend, who is over 18, is literally in a scene presents Mark Wahlberg with documentation proving that they're allowed to have sex according to like some weird archaic state-specific law called like the Romeo and Juliet law.
I feel like I saw a clip on Twitter of this.
And it has nothing to do with the movie.
That's so weird.
It just feels like a Michael Bay being like, by the way, just in case anybody, it's actually cool.
Yeah, it's like Jerry Seinfeld dating that, like going to prom with that 18-year-old or 17-year-old or whatever.
She's her brain's older.
Yeah.
She's beautiful.
Was that your Jerry Seinfeld?
Yeah, you know how he opens SNL.
Hey.
A musical guest.
Yeah, musical guest.
Kramer.
TJ Maxx.
Oh, dude, it does sound like an SNL, like, writer.
Mommy Moynihan.
A ghost. DiGiorno's.
Oh, yeah. Delicio.
I like Delicio more.
Mr. Beast. Yeah. It's the cursed, like, Justin Roiland.
It's like,
yeah.
Don't.
Dr. Han.
The good doctor.
The bad doctor. House.
I'm so excited that good doctor's in the zeitgeist right now. Really.
Yeah. What the hell is going on with that?
For people who don't know, The Good Doctor is a very funny, unintentionally very funny show created by the creator of one of my favorite shows, House, which really stinks. Really doesn't feel good.
Kind of crazy that, because they have different vibes from the clips I've seen on Twitter.
So here's the thing, though. You actually have to be pretty, you have to be a Rick and Morty type smart guy fan to know this.
That makes sense.
I haven't been keeping up with the Rick and Morty news. Has anything happened maybe in the last 2.5 years?
No, I think it's keep on keeping on, and nice. It's stronger than ever.
Justice, right? I genuinely didn't know this until we were watching the pilot for the second or third time in the last 48 hours last night.
What?
Me and Ethan, we just can't stop laughing. It's on Hulu. Shout outs Hulu. It's based on a K-drama.
The Good Doctor is.
A like 20 episode K-drama.
Oh.
And the premise being that it's an autistic savant that becomes a surgeon. And I don't know how to say this. The first episode is an A-plot about him helping a kid that gets injured at the airport. And it feels like a different show that is going on. The A-team shooting that. Literally, it looks different, feels different. It is cut and spliced like within the episode,
right?
So it feels like it's going on for it's way too long. Like, it's crazy how long he's helping a child very slowly, because he keeps cutting back to scenes where the board of directors is meeting with his like paternal figure who trained him and got him into medical school or whatever, Toby from the West Wing. And it's just scene after scene of them making some pretty yikes claims about like what autism is, how it works or whatever. And, you know, doing the kind of classic trope of, he has the mind of a child, but he's got powers, you know, like that classic.
Isn't there a different show about like an attorney who's got OCD or something
great
like that?
Attorney. Oh, wait. Yeah, there's a new one coming out.
Like, isn't it by the same
By creator? David Shore, yet again.
Why does he keep doing that?
Good Lawyer.
Oh, my God.
Also played by Freddie Highmore. That would be so funny.
We've actually got some of the clips that have been going viral on Twitter of The Good Doctor. For those who are not familiar, I do want to now teach you.
It's played by Freddie Highmore, who was in, I want to say, The Spiderwick Chronicles. He's a British actor.
Oh, this guy is?
Yeah, he was a child. He was like a very successful child.
Wait, so they did the House
actor
thing where they're like, let's get a British actor and make him American.
Worked the first time. I would be curious. I'm sure there's a discourse about it online right now, but I would be curious to know what different autistic people's experience of this show has been.
Right.
Because pretty unanimously, I've seen that it's insulting.
Yeah.
Because he's kid-coded. That's like how
they represent it. Well, I mean, like, there's quite a few clips that I love.
I should say, by the way, I don't know how late in the show we'll get, but we watched episode one. We watched the pilot, me and Ethan, the last couple of days. We watched it a couple times. And then we jumped all the way to the latest episode.
The show's over and it's been off the air for a while, right?
No, last one came out last week.
Oh, fuck.
I think it's still kicking.
Wait, this is big for them,
It's
then.
Very popular. It's like an extremely popular show.
Yeah, I was saying to Anastasia earlier, it's like, it's kind of like Young Sheldon, where you don't know like a real human being that watches it, but it's inexplicably the most popular show in the
Young
world.
Young Rock. Huh? I didn't even think that had come out.
That's real?
That's out and has been for a while.
That's
like pretty
crazy,
well.
Dude.
Or just one of those like crime shows called like CSI Night Midnight in a car. We only look at midnight crimes.
I want to look at also the car talks.
It's Knight Rider, kind of. Oh, yeah.
There's a really funny one that like, so Daniel Dae Kim is Dr. Han, and apparently he just plays this role for a few episodes. Daniel Dae Kim is one of my favorite characters on the TV show Lost.
Oh, that's right.
And so one of the things that went viral is this clip from Lost. The Good Doctor series finale is insane. The surgeon plants a bomb on Dr. Han's boat and then it explodes, fucking killing him. What a fitting conclusion to this epic rivalry. Lost spoilers, by the way. Also, fun fact about Lost. So Daniel Dae Kim's character, Jin is his name. Son and Jin, I think. Yeah.
He's a surgeon.
His character only speaks Korean the entire time. And he actually didn't know Korean. And so Yunjin Kim, his co-star, like helped him with like his lines. Because they were like this couple that like was this Korean couple that like didn't really speak English.
Same thing happened in Heroes. Do you know that?
Did it?
Yeah. Hiro Nakamura's co-star, Ando, is actually a Korean actor that had to learn Japanese to play his role.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. I know Heroes. I did watch all the show. It's very bad.
The thing I was going to say about that was that in the comments of that Lost one, they were like, the good doctor swam all the way to his boat to like plant the bomb. And the top reply was, I am a sturgeon. which I thought was awesome. Is this the clip?
I think that's the clip.
No, God damn it. It's crazy because this is like...
That's the original Korean one.
It's like 2 years. Like, this is a two-year-old clip. So this has been a thing for so long.
This is, to some people, an extremely important show. People love this show. It's like one of the most popular shows on ABC.
We can build to you having more responsibility.
No.
The music.
I'm a surgeon.
So I'm going to give you one last chance to maintain your dignity and leave my office.
I am a surgeon! I am a surgeon! I am a surgeon!
It's like incredible that the clips weren't without context. Like, we watched the full context of that scene and it's as wild as the actual TikTok is.
It's capital A acting. It's like Meryl Streep peak intensity screaming or whatever. I'm sure there's some people that connect with, like, say some of his like vocal takes and some of his some parts of the presentation of his performance. It takes all kinds, right? Like, it's not going to be no one. But it's worth noting that I think his performance is a little fetishized. If you check the IMDb, it has kind of a weird number of awards from mostly things like Critics' Choice. Necessarily like the Globes, but it's real awards.
Okay.
And he, having watched I watched like most of the first season when it was first coming out because I liked House. I'm like, maybe if I keep giving it a try. Right. Oh, it's being bad still. What do you know?
Yeah.
The latest episode, jumping to that, I don't know when in the canon, at least a couple of years, I guess, ago. It's almost sad what they're allowing him to now get away with.
Oh.
In the latest episode, he is having a kid. That's like what's happening.
Okay.
His partner is in the hospital and her water's breaking and so-and-so. She is infantilizing him as well.
Oh.
It's so frustrating for some people to watch this show because it is like the worst, most patronizing interpretation of how autism works.
Yeah.
Plus, Freddie Highmore is getting away with crime, bro. He's just, every single line has so much like affect on it.
Yeah.
It's always monotone. It's always, you know, et cetera. But then he's also, I don't know how to describe it. You're wrong to be doing that with the patient.
Oh.
That's every line.
Yeah.
And it's this, everyone that talks to him is either a bully who, no shit, his boss at the end of the first episode, who was otherwise really nice to him, they're doing surgery. Sean just saved a child. And it's almost like the show goes, oh, we're out of conflict. Hey, you, during a surgery, the main surgeon, turn to him while you're cutting someone open and just go, by the way, I'll never let you be a real surgeon in this hospital. It's wild.
What?
It's one of the worst shows I've ever seen.
That's crazy. I mean, the thing is, like, we have to, like, obviously, like, the reason that you can make fun of this is because it's like this extremely successful show that has this portrayal that, you know, people with autism have critiqued and criticized.
Yeah, it's capitalizing on a very poor representation of
autism. Yeah, yeah. And so, like, obviously we're not experts there, but
based on other sources.
Yeah, exactly. But this clip made me laugh a lot. Because why does the good doctor walk like C-3PO? And then you just look at how he moves.
How far apart are the contractions?
About 2 minutes.
Okay. It is time to start pushing.
Actually wild. He moves like a really impressive marionette. The puppetry is really impressive.
I have autistic friends.
Their arms move independently of one another.
Yeah, I can't, not that my friends are representative of the entire spectrum, obviously, but like, it's just so, I don't know. It just feels, it's so like, turned up. What's the word? Like, you said it already.
Or like affected.
Yeah.
It seems a lot like, because the reporting on it has just been like, there doesn't appear to have been any research on the side of the performance, just like a lot of interpretation. And the part that really does like unironically piss me off is the way every other character interacts with him. Mm-hmm. You are either mean and insane. Like the things they're saying are like, oh, you would go to jail for harassing an employee like this. Or they are just, oh wait, I should say, there's also extras, you know, whenever there's a, oh, I'm Jimmy McGlimmy, this is my one extra credit or whatever. And they are the patient in an episode.
Yeah.
And he'll walk in and just be like, we need to do a blood transfusion. And we go, what the heck? This is my doctor? I can't believe it.
Yeah.
And then the third type of character is his friends that are just like, okay. Okay, little buddy. Hey, don't get too emotional now, you know?
Like, is it too much to like, there have to be actors with autism who,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, it just feels like one of those things where I'm like, you're never gonna, like, it, maybe this isn't a way to flex in your ability to act. Maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
It's like one of very few scenarios where a studio might actually cast somebody with autism and they didn't, by all accounts, I've not heard anything about that. But there is also like, I don't know if this is a direct one-to-one, but it's a criticism that I heard about some shows before I'd never really thought about it. It's a couple of years ago at this point, but it's weird how many movies and shows still to represent a trans character will star a cis character that then changes their gender coding. They're like, we put Jeffrey Rush or Tambo, that's the one in Transparent. We gave him a dress to wear. And that's his transition.
The like Dallas Buyers Club, like winning all those awards.
Yeah, exactly. Jared Leto doing that.
That was wild.
And it being Eddie Redmayne.
Oh, Eddie Redmayne.
The Dutch girl or something like that, it's called. And it's impressive because they're like, imagine a guy playing a damn girl.
Yeah, this is crazy. He acted so good. And couldn't the acting be about the actual like emotional performance and not like because it just feels like, I don't know if that was necessary.
It'd be like if Robert Downey Jr.'s portrayal in Tropic Thunder wasn't a joke. It's just we need a guy that can really act black.
Yeah, right. You get Bruno in on this.
I don't, what was that line?
Is it from the song?
Yeah. I don't derba, burda, derda. There's a specific line that always gets me. It's the one that echoes.
Call them hoes and sluts.
Still haven't seen the finale, huh? One day.
We got to watch that.
Big dog. Big brother.
That's me.
An elder millennial.
They call me the Elder Ring.
How you doing? What's up? How's your week?
I'm tired. And
we got back from Canada 4 days ago.
Yeah, we got back from Canada, and then I had to get back to moving.
Yeah, that's right.
We did, we had Creator Clash. We did that, and then I got home, and then I immediately had to move. And then when I moved, I had, a day or two in the new place, and then we went to Canada, and then we just got back, and then I had a little bit of jet lag, a tiny little bit of tiredness. I ran out of my vitamin D, and I haven't been taking that for a few weeks, so I hope it didn't fuck up my levels, because I need to go get blood testing again, because I'm tired all the time, and so I have to figure out why. But all that being said, I'm good. You know, things are good. Things aren't too bad.
That's a lot of stress floating around a lot of very good things.
Yeah, there's just so much happening right now. I hate it in a way. It's a good problem, I suppose, but I don't like being oh, sorry, I can't hang out because I've got all of these things I need to do, or I can't be fun or do fun things because I need to deal with my responsibilities. Because it's all temporary and it's all short term, and a lot of these things are one time things, like getting the new place set up, but it takes a toll. I don't think I would be able to do any of what I'm doing now without our team that helps us with everything. So shout outs to the team.
And it's nice that the things are going well too.
True.
It would be very frustrating to be putting all the hours in and the result be
be
net negative.
But I was riding high from the birthday trip. That was super fun.
Yeah, it's crazy how much I feel like I say this, or one of us says it every week, but you know, it's how you, when you spend time with people and do nice things, it like lifts your mood.
Yeah.
It's like such a, it's, yeah, no shit, right?
Yeah, I was.
Maslow's Pyramids of Need has like people in it.
Not to put you on blast, but like you had expressed to me a little bit that you were like not in the best space, headspace, and it was, it made me really happy while we were on the trip after we like did a hang that you were like, you know, it's nice to do this. And I was like, yes, I'm really glad. Like, I'm glad that this trip could be that, because I needed it too. And it like really put me in a good, put me in a good mood just to be around nice people and have a good time with our friends.
And the trip was your birthday present to me as well. So that felt like a very, I don't know. Thank you so much. It did really help me. It definitely, you know, came back and all the same things are there. I got a I got a really scary Visa email yesterday.
Oh.
I feel like I'm in a dream. Like ever since I got it, I'm just like, it's like I'm floating above my body. All I need is an email that says, oh, this is plenty.
Yeah.
Something. Because the last time I got an ambiguous, this could be a problem email, I got deported for 3 years.
Yeah.
And this is exactly the same.
Right.
And to get that email, like right after buying some plants, it just, the worst thing about it, makes me feel like an idiot. It makes me feel like an idiot for like trying to establish myself.
I feel like lawyers don't have good bedside manner.
Yeah.
You empathy. Know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like, cause they're, I feel like so careful about the letter of the law that like, I mean, in some of the meetings that we've been on, I've kind of been like, not to give specifics, but I've been like, so you're essentially saying this and we're fine. And they're like, potentially, hypothetically, mm-hmm. that were the, you know, and it's like, okay, you don't, I'm not the a judge. Yeah. You know, you can like, you can kind of tell it to me like it is.
It's like when you're on a flight and there's some like extreme turbulence or something and you can ask a flight attendant, is this like normal-ish or whatever?
Right.
And they're running around panickedly. I'm like, I shouldn't have to ask this. Can you get on the comms and say,
yeah,
we've had this before and not die?
Right. That's
because I'm not a pilot.
That
I don't know the rules.
That happened to me with like some stuff about like whether or not I was going to get the place or not, where some shit happened. And I was fortunately, I was like talking to some of like my people and they were like, oh, no, this happens. This happens a lot.
Yeah.
Like, it's all good. And so my anxiety about it was able to be like, oh, okay, well, it's a normal normal possibility.
Do you get that experience with therapy? Having kind of an authority figure that has been tracking your experience? I get it with my psychiatrist specifically, where I'll come in, say something that's maybe clearly me spiraling about a particular topic or getting caught up in something that's like trauma-based but not necessarily grounded or real.
Yeah.
Or is a symptom of my medication as well. That's always helpful
because
I'm not a doctor, but I think being a therapist psychiatrist, my psychiatrist is able to be like really candid and just say, no, that's like not real.
Yeah.
Or the thing you're having is you actually have too high a dosage.
My therapist does do that from time to time. I am thinking recently though that I might need to change therapists because I like my therapist, but I don't know that I'm like getting much out of therapy right now.
They're not a patron.
Nor do I think they listen. So fingers crossed, they shouldn't be listening. But even if they were, I would have this conversation with their face.
It'd be nice if they signed up at patreon.com/sadboys at the $5 level to get extra episode every week.
I was like, they don't understand that they get an entire episode every week.
What a
full
stupid
episode.
Asshole.
Like they listen to this episode. They listen to this podcast all the time. And then there's double that.
Huh?
We're going on 10.
And yet?
Right now, 10 bonus episodes. 10 hours.
10 hours.
Of Sadboys content with various guests.
And frankly, it's way better.
It's so much better. We get to let loose. We can say all the slurs.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
the ones.
Some of the new ones.
Some of the new. We got new technology.
A blip. What could that mean?
Hey, hold on. Bleep it.
Sorry. Apologies.
Yeah. Apologies to the blur. Ops.
Dude, brother.
My blipples.
Bleep it, please.
Blipple, please.
But yeah, you might change.
Yeah, it's just like, I'm sure other people have had this experience where like finding a therapist is like dating, where you have to like talk to people and like kind of tell your whole life story. One of my least favorite things is like meeting with a new therapist and being like, okay, so I've done a lot of work on myself.
and I'm just going to give you the oral history of my life, mm-hmm. and you're going to have to catch up. And I don't like that because you starting from zero, like the main benefit I get out of therapy now is the longitudinal value of having someone go, oh, 4 years ago, you had this problem.
Yeah. Tracking is the helpful part.
Yeah.
That's actually huge. I've only had two psychiatrists and one was literally for like 3 months before I moved from San Francisco to LA. And then it's just been the one I have right now the whole time.
Yeah.
But I did have some remote therapy deep during COVID because my psychiatrist is very expensive.
Yeah.
I didn't have the money to fuck around with that. And it was dog shit. Like it was, not only were they unable to kind of connect the dots or get engaged and they were just giving me platitudes. When we wrapped up the first session, they sent me an email suggesting that I read Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules for Life.
Dude, I've been hearing more like from friends about shitty therapists. And if you have a bad therapist, like you have my permission to change. Yeah. Because I was talking to a different friend whose therapist was like they were talking about how they have trauma around, let's say it was like around like bodies of water.
Okay.
Or something like this is not their real problem, but I'm trying to give an example. So it was like, I have trauma around large bodies of water. And they were like, oh, well, I've got some good beach recommendations that are good. And it's like, no, let's talk about the trauma that I have. And it's like, weirdly, like they weren't like keyed in to like what the actual issue was. And they were like staying very surface level.
Do you like Dasani more?
No, it was like they felt like their therapist was not even paying attention to them.
Yeah.
And or listening to them. And to the credit of my therapist, I think they're good at listening to me, but I don't feel like they challenge me. And I think I may need to seek out a different style of therapy. Because I think that my therapist is like CBT, you know, pilled. And there's a lot of other schools of thought out there. One of our friends is, or one of my friends actually, because you guys haven't met, but is a like doing their PhD in psychology. And she was talking to me about some different therapies that might be beneficial. And I think I'm just like open to, you know, I got into therapy because I wanted to like feel better and like improve my dialogue with myself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I've stagnated on that. And I've started to dread going to therapy because it feels like I'm just telling stories and changing lives. But it feels like I'm just goofing and
destroying guilds.
Yeah, destroying guilds. Also, yeah, you know, WGA strong, by the way. Like, yeah, it's unbelievable that we were like just talking about the like Darman working conditions and they're like not non-union stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there's like the writer strike that's happening now. And we're definitely in solidarity with the writers. They deserve more of a share of the work that they do.
If you want to notice how embarrassing the studios are being, they're complaining about writer strikes being too prevalent. The last one was in 2007.
Yeah.
So
but it shortened the season of Lost that was airing at that time. And it was actually 14 episodes instead of the planned 24, 22.
Quantum of Solace was mid.
Yeah.
Actually.
God.
How is that fair on me?
Yeah, Heroes did not recover from the writer's strike, okay?
Okay, well now we're touching real shit.
Yeah, all right, yeah, okay. Now it's getting real.
Yeah, I mean, if you need a better example, Jesus. Heroes was genuinely a great show. People, I think, undervalue writers. They seem to think of guilds as this privilege that cream of the crop would like access to,
yeah,
as opposed to just being a very basic right that makes life sustainable.
In the, yeah, and there is so much like value in the collective bargaining that these, you know, unions do to make it so that the people doing their job day in and day out are protected and have access to the right, you know, healthcare and amenities and pay, you know, to live on. And I think the complaints of the writers, you know, it's like, I can't, like, I'm not the most, like, I'm not a part of this guild, so I can't really speak to, like, truly, you know, what all of their talking points are. But my understanding is, like, you know, more residual pay. Yeah. They're not seeing the...
Because that was basically stripped away with streaming.
Yeah, so streaming is, like, a big part of, like, what's happening there. And then there's, like, these concerns about AI and clamping down on, like, you know, how much of these studios are... you know, writing scripts with AI and then having writers come in and like, you know, fix them.
Very, I think maybe one of the most reasonable, obvious, I mean, all of them are reasonable, all the requests/demands, one of the no-brainers to me is that the writers individually want to be able to opt out of having their work used to train AI.
Oh, huge.
Which is like, yeah, man, it's my script. What yeah, are you talking dude. About?
Imagine, like, because it's very easy to imagine if that were done off of one person. Like, for example, did you hear that AI Drake song?
Yes.
I actually haven't heard it, but I don't think we can play it because of DMCA. But
one of his best.
But I do kind of want to listen to it myself. Drake AI. Was it like featuring The Weeknd?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the real one. Not AI.
I know Anthony Fantano said it was kind of good, but he was also saying it's a problem. Like he was saying,
oh, yeah. It's a bad thing that it is decent.
Is this the song? Is it called Heart on My Sleeve?
Yeah. God, that's a really good. Jesus.
Yeah, this song is kind of a banger, and that's a problem.
That test fight is too good.
Yeah, it's a problem. It's too good. Because I'm also like, okay, this was probably not written by an AI. But the issue is that we have a combination of factors. We have like, you know, you can train AIs to write in the style. You can now train AI voice models if you have a bunch of voice examples to sound like a person. And who do we have a lot of voice examples of? Every popular musician. Yes. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's definitely something that like the regulation is going to need to speed up. And it's all, this has always been a problem because when a new technology like comes around that's unregulated and there's a huge like sort of gold rush of profit, it takes forever for the actual government to like catch up and regulate because the mm-hmm. people doing that regulation are old farts and they don't have their thumb on the pulse of society. They don't listen to AI The Weeknd or whatever.
And the process for doing things is so slow.
And it's so slow and it's built to not change the status quo. Mm-hmm. And that's how you get like big tech or whatever. That's how you get like Uber growing to be this gigantic company and sort of like stomping around government legislation because the worst that can happen is they get fined a few million dollars after making billions.
Yeah, that's what disruption is. That term is so prolific because it's just doing something mostly legal.
Yeah.
That isn't properly tracked while you can.
Yeah, doing something unregulated as fast as possible yeah. while the regulations... You know, it's like you're The Weeknd in a Corvette driving and you're in a Ford F-150 on the fucking, on a California highway and the police are chasing you, except for The Weeknd is the tech industry disrupting and the cops are the government. Sorry. Yeah. I don't know.
And they take a wrong turn.
Yeah. I don't know.
This is like an AI generated analogy.
Yeah, that's I asked ChatGPT to formulate that one for me.
By the way, if your instinct as a listener or person just like aware of this happening is to say, well, it's like there's personal responsibility or like you should just have
Learn to code.
Stop holding back progress or whatever. You're a libertarian psychopath. Like that is a way that's some Ayn Rand psycho bullshit. Mm. That is like, it's for the same token, then people shouldn't get in trouble for not wearing seatbelts.
Yeah.
That is like, yeah, it's not optimal to waste time putting on the seatbelt when I could be driving to work. Speed limits is not letting me get anywhere quick enough.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, come on, man. You know that not everybody can be personally responsible for that. You know that like, it's a meritocracy, man. The writers should just get bigger, higher paying jobs.
Yeah, they should just move into Mr. Beast Town.
They should go into big steel production.
Yeah.
it's the writing.
Yeah, why don't you just make cars? Wait, why don't we start a town, call it Detroit.
Right.
Make a big car factory.
Okay, they did this. They did this like so long ago. I feel like. It's okay.
You know, it's my idea.
You're going to be so embarrassed.
Do it again.
Detroit 2, man.
Detroit 2.
Come on.
Cars... Extra.
Do we cars boo boo, dude.
You heard about the Mr. Beast stuff? So he's done a couple things.
New Capital D discourse with Jimmy?
He's cured a few more ailments.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
His New Testament list of miracles is like growing.
Yeah.
His thumbnails, his demonic thumbnails, bro.
I haven't. People said that he's like making them so that people can put themselves in to react. And I kind of think there's validity to that. Because there's all the space on the left side of the thumbnail.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's his like his work and trade, right? His three key features mm-hmm. in the thumbnail.
Yeah.
And I guess that is missing one.
you. It's missing you.
Get in there. No matter who you are,
get in there. Start your reaction channel. I get a lot of DMs that are like, hey, how do I do commentary? You just pop yourself on a Mr. Beast thumbnail and you hit record.
Be wacky and then get like a talented editor to make it cogent.
Yeah,
like
yeah. Do lots of drone footage. Do it like Casey Neistat in 2015.
It would be so funny to do a commentary channel, whole channel, but it's only via drone. And because of audio reasons, it has to be like 30
feet away.
What if we
did commentary videos like a Mr. Beast video? Like, what's up, guys? Today, we're going to talk about Shane Dawson's new video.
Do you think that this one is the odd one out? Which one of them is black?
Okay, guys, I think that Jared is black because, wait, I can see him. Hold on. Yeah,
with my eyes.
With my eyes. So, I mean, I think that this Mr. Beast thing, obviously the optics are like bad. It like, it's, you know, I know a lot of people are comparing it to company talents. A lot of people are comparing it to feudalism.
Was there any, I mean, is there more nuance to the story other than he just bought some houses that were for sale for his staff?
I don't think that they were all for sale. I think he like tried to get the owners of the houses to sell them. And it says for staff and family. I don't know. And then we don't know if like he owns the houses or if he bought them on behalf. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause there's a difference. Because like if it's going to be like a lords and vassal situation where
if you're dependent on having that job,
if you're dependent on having the job, so I think that there's just like not enough information to like really cast judgment other than to say like the optics look bad, and that's what Twitter cares about, and so like so you can just like make the take. It definitely doesn't sound good, and I think that there's a lot of stuff about like that environment that I haven't heard the best things about. So,
you know, I will certainly not in defense of Mr. Beast, but I think more just one of the phenomena that follows him around and is, I think, the cause of a lot of these, again, capital D discourses. There are a lot of keywords in that story that I think are triggering for people.
Mm-hmm.
There's Jimmy. His kind of classic brand of so-and-so.
Well, because like, you see a Mr. Beast headline and you're like, okay, what's my hot take to farm, engagement? Yeah.
And then landlord is another keyword you can put in there.
Yeah.
Company town, a reference that maybe make people unsettled even as an idea.
Buying a house, something that's not accessible to like most people.
It's just like a very online lib behavior to kind of go off aesthetics. Like not really think about the why or the how of something, but more just the kind of like the cosmetic elements of something bad.
Yeah.
Like, or like when, you know, Joe Biden had big red lights behind him, everyone was like, get the rise of Dark Brandon.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's like, just a camera angle. There's blue to the right or whatever. Right?
Yeah.
I understand. I'd send the desire for some nice plug and play opinions, but I'm sure there's nuance beyond this. And I'll also say like, I'm not by any means an expert on like the nuances of what purchasing large portions of land does to like the surrounding economy and how that impacts that. But I'm hesitant to get too judgmental on something that like, I feel my bias kicking in.
Right.
I feel my socialist instincts kicking in and being like, a guy bought a bunch of houses to house his staff. What is he, the damn king? And I just don't know.
I don't know. I also like, I feel like he already owned a bunch of houses in this neighborhood, and this story is about him buying a couple more. And so I think that like it's partially old news, which is why maybe I kind of wasn't surprised by it, but maybe that's why I just like don't have the, like I'm not able to judge it objectively. I wouldn't say that Twitter is judging it objectively. I think that like, I feel like the stuff on the internet, you always have to view it through the lens of like, it's hard to find someone who is posting with the earnest goal of sharing information.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like oftentimes you're posting for engagement. I'm posting for engagement.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah. And it's like, not to say that everyone's doing what I'm doing, but you know, Dexerto needs to get clicks or whatever. That's like why they run these stories where the actual body of the, it's like, it's a headline and then like a paragraph. You know what I mean?
I mean, what's the use case where somebody's posting anything on Twitter without the intent to get attention on it?
Right. It would literally be someone who's like, I just need to let people know.
It would be pointless.
Yeah.
Especially like you want to let people know, but you don't want to have a lot of people see it.
Yeah.
There's just no, and this is not even, yeah, again, like a judgment. Even if I post something non-shitposty, I do want it to get attention.
Yeah. I mean, if you're like, hey, there's like a sale on Switches at my local Best Buy, like you're, I mean, maybe that's for clout, but you could also want to like do a service. I don't know. I think that certainly someone could not have nefarious intentions when it comes to posting online. And I don't think I have nefarious intentions when posting online, but I have to acknowledge that, especially for like a news outlet who's paying the $1,000 a month to get a gold check mark, they, you know, have to get that their game is engagement.
Sure. Plus, yeah, I mean, hey.
Because otherwise there's no point to this.
It's a story worth selling. I don't think it's keeping Jimmy up at night or anything like that. No. And I don't think it's beyond criticism because it is, again, it's demonic. It's icky. It's, yeah. That's like his curse, really, certainly is so much of the stuff he does.
But I feel like the extent of it is, well, this certainly doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
Print.
Let's put it on ice from there. Because I don't, you know, it's not necessarily a bad idea to keep an eye on, yeah, who owns these houses and what obligation do they have to be good peasants for Jimmy? Otherwise, they lose their house. Is it their house? Is there a payment plan? How does this work?
Yeah.
But keeping an eye out doesn't also mean like preemptively just telling it, saying it's bad.
Yeah.
Plus, hey, man, again, not an expert in anything to do. I just don't know.
Yeah, I'm not an expert either.
I don't know the dominoes.
I think it's like I would certainly need more information. And it feels like this headline is for the sake of clicks, because when you actually click into it, you get like a bunch of question marks and a few pull quotes from people who lived in the neighborhood who talk about like, well, he had to make it worth my while. Or whatever. And it's like, okay, so there's not really much here.
That's the other question mark, I guess, is like, yeah, what was the method? Is it one of those, the big wig in town wants to destroy the rec center so he can build a parking lot? Right, or was it like he gave us an incredibly good offer because he just wanted...
I mean, and obviously like we could debate the merits of like, yeah, Mr. Beast owning a neighborhood. But we don't even know, like truly, like don't even know if he owns the neighborhood or if he gifted the houses, because he's also gifted houses a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you could, you know, I would not be surprised if it was in the business interest of Mr. Beast to like buy a house on behalf of some of his like higher ups. You know, it's like we've heard stories about people who climb the ranks of like Mr. Beast's org and like he wants to have more access to you. And so like he'll give you more, you know, stuff as a result, like showering you in gifts.
No part of me thinks that there's like a deep and nefarious purpose to doing it in the first place. It's literally just to like, well, I work with all these people.
Yeah, he's like efficiency pilled for
just
sure.
Just put them in a place together. In the same way that, you know, I made a thumbnail where there's a little boy crying.
Yeah.
Just knowing that, like not understanding why that's creepy.
It was interesting to see that thumbnail change a bunch to like different boys crying.
Who's your favorite kind of boy?
Yeah, it was like, well, this one's a person of color. He's a little boy of color and he's crying.
Do you guys like that?
Yeah. I think, he changed the thumbnail like 3 or 4 times.
You want to get him some shoes? I'll do whatever you
slightly,
want.
Slightly.
Was that one on his philanthropy channel?
There was one on his philanthropy channel about prosthetics, I think.
Oh, that's what that one was on. Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
But not the
hearing
curing blindness one, right?
I think that was on, curing blindness was on Maine.
Interesting.
And then I think the hearing aid one was on Maine.
He's made such an iconic smile that is more like a grimace. He looks like the grimace emoji. His iconic thumbnail grimace.
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah.
It's almost like he's going like, I don't know. Is this okay?
What did, you sent me a clip.
Oh yeah, dude.
Do you want to set this up?
Yeah, so there's nothing to do with this. Like, there's no interesting insights to happen. The two most annoying people on the internet, or in media in general, Elon Musk and Bill Maher.
Oh, Bill Maher.
Yeah, which actually genuinely sounds like if somebody wanted to give me like Guantanamo white torture, just play Bill Maher and I will lose my sense of self and I'll just like give up all of my homies or
he
whatever.
He really annoys me.
He is a truly despicable person, and that clip where he drops the N-word is kind of amazing to watch still. Not that long ago.
I didn't even know that was a... I think maybe I have seen that though.
It's rough. It's a... What a little treat. But...
Treat yourself after the show.
This is a very recent... This is what, like 2 weeks ago?
Before listening to our Patreon exclusive episode.
Maybe we listen to it there. Maybe we don't. Won't tell you.
No, we've got a good story to talk about on that one. We'll tell you about it in a sec.
This clip is Elon Musk... Who, and you know, so much deference from soy Bill Maher, you know, just being like, you're actually epic bacon swag. I think you're actually pretty goaded with the sauce, you know, just buttering him up. Elon Musk jumps in with one of just the worst jokes I've ever heard, and they have to applaud.
Okay, here we go.
These people who deal the cards and
stuff. I deal some memes too.
Yes, they do. Some,
Wait. The moment the clap light comes on.
Wait. Yeah, so he says, you're one of the few people that deals the cards. So he's saying he's like a kingmaker, Elon Musk. He's like one of these like guys who's got a lot of power. And then he says, I deal some memes too. What? Wait, was he opening his jacket to be like, I've got some memes in here?
Oh, is that the bit?
I think that's
doing?
His bit.
Some,
he's doing it.
What is
that? No, I couldn't show you any of my memes.
No, I can't show you any of my like highly super compressed Facebook meme of a blue head feminist.
That I stole from the top reply to my previous tweet.
Yeah, on 9gag.
Dude, he is cracking up.
The pop, again, you can hear exactly when the neon clap sign goes
on.
Yeah. They're just like, oh, okay.
So about your memes.
Shut
how up. Do they help you combat the woke mind virus?
Yeah, thanks for fighting back with like a picture of Squidward and he's playing his clarinet and saying that, feminism's bad.
Dude, isn't Bill Maher the guy who's like, I mean, look, I've been liberal for my whole life, but the pronouns these days are just so bad.
He's dad lib. That's like his whole code, yeah. He's a Obama skeptic, but still votes for him, that kind of thing.
Okay. You know? And he would have voted for a third
Show time. Me the birth certificate, but we deserve to see it.
So we're about at time for this episode because we've got to go to right here and record a full and complete bonus extra special episode,
homies
Patreon
only.
Style.
Homies only.
Homies only on patreon.com/sadboys. It's a little show we call Sad Boys Nights.
We have a salacious story to tell.
Okay, so on today's Patreon episode, we were in Toronto with our good friends Curtis Connor, Danny Gonzalez.
We're in the six.
We were in the six with our woes and rolling through it, in fact. And we took a limo, you know, like a birthday limo. We took like a birthday limo to karaoke. Got back to Curtis's place at like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. in the morning, and find out that we need to pay in cash for this limousine. And it's 2 a.m. in the morning, and we don't have any cash.
We go on a little adventure.
And we go on a little adventure, and we'll tell you about that adventure. Curtis says some wild stuff. Danny Gonzalez is there too. well, you'll find out the thrilling conclusion of that story on patreon.com/sadboys.
Bang.
But we end every episode of Sad Boys with a particular phrase.
We love you.
And we're sorry.
Boom.
Boom.
So we got bullied by a limo driver.
Pam. Poor Pam. Curtis is like, I would like to pay now. She was like, yeah, that'll be some amount of Canadian dollars cash. And the world said there's no way for us to acquire cash at 2 a.m.
It felt like a prank.
In the local area, all the ATMs are closed. We say, follow me. Gucci girl, Gucci girl, how you doing? How you moving, girl? Moving, girl. How's your day looking? That future girl, future girl. Yeah, we are now. Take my money, go away. Are you want it? Get too rich for me.